Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning, and to especially be part of the pastoral service. I haven't had the joy of sharing in one of those before, so I'm quite thrilled at the opportunity. And I bring you greetings from the rest of the circuit, and say how much the work that is going on in this section of the circuit. Mission of a new church, well, not so new anymore now, is a gift in Cobham, the coming together of the Cobham Methodist, the United Reformed Churches, and the work in Effingham and here in Leatherhead is very much in our hearts and on our minds, and we trust that as you journey together with God, you will know His hand upon you, His Spirit guiding, leading, and empowering and equipping you in your work and ministry and mission for Him. Might seem a somewhat obscure passage to be choosing when we're talking about, so what's the story? But I hope it will all be revealed in due course. But I want to begin with another story. Johnny had come home from Sunday school, and his mum said to him, "Johnny, what did you learn in Sunday school today?" Johnny stopped and he thought about it for a while and said, "Well, Mum, it was like this. A Sunday school teacher told us about that Moses bloke who led the Israelites out of captivity and trouble in Egypt. And they were making their getaway and they were escaping from the Egyptian army that was chasing them, and they came to the Red Sea, and suddenly they were in a bit of a jam because they had the Egyptians running up behind them and they had the sea in front of them and they didn't quite know where to go." So Moses talked about it for a minute and then he called up the engineering corps and they hauled out the pontoon bridges and put them over the Red Sea, and they all ran across the bridges, and the engineering corps came at the back and laid charges, and they all ran across, and they got to the other side and they waited until the Egyptians were halfway across, and kablooey, they blew the whole thing up. The Egyptians died in the sea. And Mum said, "Was that exactly the way the story unfolded?" Johnny said, "Well, no, but if I told you the story she told us, you'd never believe me." Our theme for the service this morning comes from the presidential theme for the connection year for the Methodist Church. So what's the story? President of Conference and the Vice President of Conference want to make 2019-20 the year of storytelling or testimonies in the Methodist Church of Great Britain. So what's that all about? Essentially, I think, it is about trying to recapture the truth that evangelism, yes, that rather big, important word, is the responsibility of everyone. I don't believe the church is in decline because we don't have enough evangelists, with a capital E. Rather, I think it's in decline because we've forgotten to play our part in telling the story. After all, that's what evangelism basically is. I mean, the word evangelism comes from the Greek word euangelion, which simply means the good news. The good news to tell the story. And so I want to share three things with you this morning. First of all, I want to say everyone has a story to tell. In fact, probably got more than one. When I came back from our ministerial synod in March of this year, I presented a paper to our leadership team at London Road Methodist Church. That Craig Hall, the new Connectional Director of Evangelism and Growth, had presented to the Ministerial Synod. It was entitled, or is entitled, How to Develop a Culture of Lay Testimony in Your Congregation. You know what their biggest bugbear with it was? Did you guess it? That word. Testimony. Oh, you didn't guess that. Somehow, we managed to turn one of the most vital, powerful tools for evangelism into something of a dirty word. How did we manage that? How do we make it so that if you ask somebody to share a testimony, they immediately go into a panic and say, oh, I can't do that? Because they think it equates with something of a Pauline Damascus Road experience, blinding lights, flashing signs, divine intervention, radical transformation. It was not about that, well, not much good at all. Really? Really, nothing could be further from the truth. Story is story. And no one story is any better than anyone else's story. It's just simply that, it's a story. And each story has its own significance and speaks to a multitude of different moments, most of which we could never know until we've shared the story with someone else. Think about it. How often has your journey with Jesus been radically transformed by the uber testimony kind of moment? How often isn't it more fundamentally changed by the quiet sharing of someone you didn't expect something from, standing next to you in the midst of a deep moment, and suddenly you discover God's word, where you didn't think it might be? I mean, one of the problems when we kind of raise testimony to this level that makes us all petrified of ever sharing one is that it kind of makes my story, when I'm trying to live a quiet life under the radar, making sure everything is ordered, in order, doing all the good I can, wherever I can, with whoever I can, something less than. And it's not. It's not. So who's got that story then? And why aren't you telling it me? We need to hear the story that our God helps to make sense in the mundane things of my life. I need to know how God helped you in that time of deep sorrow. How he iced the cake of your great joy to make it even more joyful. How he walks with you in the daily round. Does that mean that there's a story for every minute of every day? No, I don't think so. But there's definitely more material here than we give credit for. Stop. Look. Listen. And you will see how God is moving in your life, helping to shape your story of grace, of love, and of life. And as you do, don't be afraid to share that. In the summer, we had a house group Sunday at London Road, and we asked some people to share their testimonies. There were one or two who were up for it. Not the people you might have thought. Not the people you might have thought. And one of the people that stood up and shared their story was a woman who comes to church regularly, sits in a pew, says hello and goodbye. Not much else. through. Her husband passed away about this time last year. Quite unexpectedly, quite tragically. And she stood up and just shared with the congregation how much her house group has helped her journey through the valley of the shadow of death. Didn't need to preach a sermon that everyone has a story to tell, in fact, more than one. Which are yours? The second thing I want to say this morning is this. It's not about what you don't know. It's about what you do know. Not about what you don't know. It's what about you do know. I mean, so often I think when we are confronted with sharing our story with testimonies, is we kind of think that if I'm going to share anything, and I'm going to set myself up for the question afterwards about the thing I don't have a clue about. Well, let me tell you something. That standing here preaching to you is a similar kind of an experience. You know, I don't know everything about everything. I know a few things about some things. But so often we get ourselves into a little bit of a knot. We don't want to put our heads above the parapet because we can think of all the big questions that become the deflecting mechanisms to excuse us from standing up and saying what we do know. I mean, the story we read from the Bible this morning is just such a thing. I mean, yes, this is bloke he'd been blind his whole life. The interesting conversation at the beginning of the passage when the disciples ask Jesus the question of, you know, well, why is he blind? Did somebody do something wrong? You know, one of those questions that we kind of like try to answer. It just is. God will be glorified, Jesus says. And so then he goes ahead and heals the bloke. And I didn't read the whole story because it gets a bit tedious. Because what kind of happens in the in-between bit that we didn't read was you have this interrogation of the bloke by the religious leaders because they're not happy with what's happened and they want to know what's going on. And he doesn't know. And calling back the second time, which is the bit that we did read at the end, and he said, whether this bloke's a sinner or not, I don't know. And I think he probably added the words, frankly, I don't care. I was blind, and now I see. I was blind, and now I see. Isn't that what matters? I don't know how this thing works. I don't know how this thing, grace, works. Because actually, when I think I've got my head around how grace works, I discover, well, no, I don't. And God surprises me in a way that I didn't expect. Do I know how God heals? No, I don't. I know that it does. I know sometimes it doesn't, but then I don't quite know. Well, yeah, well, maybe I've got to kind of just think about things a little bit longer, hold things a little bit tighter, live with questions a little bit deeper. But I know that as I undertake to do those things, the things that I become certain of, I become much more certain of, and there are not too many of those things, because they don't need to be. Too many of those things. Karl Barth, who gets inflicted upon students when they study theology, wrote a massive theological tome. He was asked, towards the end of his life, having written everything, What did you learn? What can you tell us? And he stood up and he said this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Irrelevant doctrines about whether it's pre or post millennial and when is the rapture going to happen and who's going to do what when. No. The story is about nothing more, nothing less than God's love for each and every one of us. How we are recipients of that love. That's the story. That's what we know. That's what we call to tell. The other stuff, if it's that important, well, you can work it out and study it and explore it and find out that there's a whole range of confusion on any one of the subjects you want to pick that I've just mentioned. Follow the love. And that leads you to the truth. Because the final thing I want to say to you this morning is that be ready to reap the joy telling your story will bring. Because it will. Be ready to reap the joy your story will bring. Jerry Cook and Stanley Baldwin wrote a book quite a long time ago called Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness. And they were basically just trying to just put the basics out there. This is all it is. It's about love, acceptance, and forgiveness. God loves us, God accepts us, God forgives us. That's all we need to know. And Jerry Cook was trying to encourage his church members in being a little bit more out there on the evangelistic front. You know, going there, telling the story, meeting the neighbor, sharing with the neighbor. And one of his church members had come in taking note and following his instruction. And they had started meeting with their neighbor. They'd reached out across the garden fence and they were engaged in conversation and the conversation had developed and grown. And then one day, Jerry was sitting in his office and his phone rang and it was this church member really excitedly saying, their neighbor wanted to become a Christian. Can you come and pray with us? So Jerry thought, wonderful. And he jumped into his car and he was belting across town. And suddenly he heard God say to him, where are you going? And Jerry thought, well, Lord, he said, I didn't give that person to you to bring into the kingdom. I gave it to them to bring into the kingdom. Where are you going? So, okay. And he turned around and he went back to his office and he phoned the church member and he said, I'm not coming. Said, what? No, I'm not coming. You've got this. And so he prayed with her on the phone, gave her a few tips, and put the phone down. Then about half an hour later, the just aura of joy that burst into his office, and these two ladies came in to just celebrate with him this wonderful moment of life that had broken through. Not just for the person who had made a commitment, but for the church member who had suddenly discovered, hey, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. In conclusion then, Johnny had a story to tell. But he didn't trust the one he heard, so he came up with a different one. More plausible, he thought. It's not about the story we have heard. It's about the story we're involved in. The one we are living. Yes, it might be messy. It might be incomplete. We don't have all the answers, and we probably never will. But what we do have, each and every one of us, what we do have is an experience of God's grace and God's love, touching and changing our hearts and lives. So let's take our cue from the blind man in John's Gospel and say, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know.